Good morning. My name is Michael Rodriguez, lead pastor here at Christ Community Church. Hope you all had a great week. It's just always exciting. Sunday is my favorite day. And so just always excited to be able to spend a Sunday here and worship, to be with you all here, and just to share what God has for us this morning. Just one of the quick announcements that we do have, we're going to be starting community groups here in February. So that's one of the things that we met this year as a church leadership team, and we want to start to gather. You know, we're very big on Acts 2:42, which is the main verse around Bible study and meeting as a group. And so we want to create opportunities for our church to fellowship, to break bread, to pray for each other, to encourage each other. We're very big here on being able to do life together. And so we believe that small groups is where a lot of that happens. We certainly love to gather and meet, worship corporately, get encouraged by the word. But we also know that life has to happen together during the week. And our plan is to kick those off by the second week of February. So we'll have sign-up sheets in the back, but we probably will be reaching out to everybody that's here, to all of our church family, to encourage them to join a group. It's very important. And so you'll be hearing some more about that. And so we're excited about what that's going to look like. So that's going to be kicking off here the second week of February. Thank you again for being here. Sunday is my favorite day of the week. And so just glad to be able to spend time to worship and to get into the word. And so along this line, I think if everybody should have their handout ready to go, we're going to be spending some time in the book of Matthew this morning and a few other places. But this is the third sermon in a series that we're doing. It's called Established and being rooted in God's love. And every week we've been covering a different principle in terms of how do we establish that relationship? How do we establish that oneness that with God? And how do we connect with Him? And so this week, or the first week, we talked about knowing who God is. We spent a lot of time in the book of John knowing God, and how Christ came to give us eternal life, what it means to live our life, focus our life around knowing who He is. And the second week, we talked about, the sermon was about hearing and listening from God. And we talked about the differences between hearing and listening and what that means, and then doing that. And so being connected with Him and spending time with the Lord and spending and knowing His voice. And so this week, the sermon is called Talking with God. Now, how many of you here understand that communication and effective communication, healthy communication, is so vital to a relationship? Most of us in here do. And definitely when we're talking to our Creator and our Lord and Savior, we want to be listening to Him, obviously. And then the other portion of that is talking with God, communicating with God, having that relationship and building that. And so it is going to be spending time with God. And in the church context, when we say we're talking with God, we know that we're talking about praying, right? How do we pray to God? And so that's really important. In a relationship, you have to have healthy communication. If you don't, then it's not going to go so well. So I'm married. And if I opted to only talk to my wife on Sundays and maybe on Wednesdays when I go to Bible study, and maybe in the morning, right? Maybe two or three lines before we eat dinner or before I eat lunch, I don't think that my relationship goes so well, right? She would tell you, no, it's going to be bad. And so we can't treat a relationship with our spouse, with our kids, with our friends, wouldn't be effective if we minimized our communication in that manner. And so in the same way, if we're going to live a life that is rooted and established on His love, then we also have to have effective communication with our Heavenly Father. And so that's really important. We're going to spend a lot of time there this morning. The first scripture that we're going to read this morning is out of Psalms 145, verse 18. And that passage says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." I'm going to read it again. It says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him, and to call upon him in truth. Psalm 145:18. And what we're talking about here and what the psalmist is telling us is that there is nearness, right, through communication. And that passage assures us that God is near when we call upon him, right? And we call upon him in truth. Our conversation with God allows us to bridge the gap and deepen our connection with him. You've heard me say this before. You know, in our life, sometimes we can move away from God, but we have a decision to make. We can be as near or as far from God as we want. God is omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. That means he knows all things. He's present at all times. And he's all powerful. My decision, right, when I feel like I'm going through a struggle, and I think a lot of us in here will confess to say that there has been a time and a trial in our life where we felt like nobody understood us, like we felt all alone. And the reality of it is, what we find in the scripture is that the Lord is near to all who call upon him. So we just have to call upon him, but also call upon him in truth. Now, the second half of that passage is interesting because oftentimes we would call upon him for things that I would say maybe didn't align with his truth, didn't align with his will. For example, in my life, I grew up in a Catholic home, and I would go to church on Sundays because I was forced to. I think for me it was a religious activity, but I didn't have that relationship. I hadn't surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. So certainly my prayers were a lot different. I would pray the prayer like God was a genie. You know, it's like if I was in trouble or if I needed something, I would not say, you know, and I would recite certainly the words. I would maybe say the Lord's Prayer, but then I would just immediately, and that was just more religious. There was no heart into what I was saying, but it was really just the act of saying the words so I can get to my own petitions, saying the words so I could rub the genie's lamp and say, God, if you do this thing for me, I'll do this. God, please grant me this opportunity, right? And maybe that resonates with you a little bit because we have a misunderstanding of who God is and we have a misunderstanding of prayer. God isn't a genie. He's our Heavenly Father. He's a good God. And so we are going to cover, Jesus is giving the blueprint for how we pray. What we learn in Psalm 145 is that God is with us. He's with us and he allows us to call upon him in truth. So he wants to hear from us. The Bible tells us that when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, number one, and we have faith, that we have the opportunity to be called children of God. And so why wouldn't a Heavenly Father want to hear from us? But oftentimes in the church context, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. If we're in a gathering and you're asked to pray, or somebody asks you to pray, you don't feel comfortable. The first thing you say, I'm not an eloquent speaker. No, I can't pray out loud. And so we all have our own insecurities. And the enemy is also a liar and plants these little seeds of doubt in us. Praying with God is actually just talking with God. We don't have to overcomplicate it. We don't have to say these magnificent, beautiful prayers like it's a sonnet and a poem. No, God just wants to talk to us. God doesn't want a recital. He doesn't want you to quote Shakespeare to him while you pray. He doesn't want you to sing a song and feel like you're... It's not a performance, is what I'm trying to say. It is prayer in its simplest form. It's talking to your Heavenly Father. That's what it is. And so we're going to talk about it and learn the blueprint that Jesus Christ gave us. If you go back and you read the Gospels, you'll remember that in Luke chapter 11, you find oftentimes, and this is one example where Jesus was praying. In fact, if you read the scriptures, every time before Jesus was going to make a big decision or when he was going to start a big campaign, you could find in the scripture that says Jesus went off to a quiet place and he prayed. And he was always seeking the will of the Father. Time and time again, he would say, I came to do the will of him who sent me. I only speak to you the words that have been given me to the Father. He was always seeking the Father, his Heavenly Father's will, in terms of even what he was going to say, how he's going to deliver his ministry. And so it's really important. I always say, listen, if Jesus, who's part of the Godhead, right? The Heavenly Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If he finds it critical in his life, while he was here in his earthly ministry, to be speaking to the Father, to be seeking His will, then definitely as believers, it's critical for us to seek out the Father in prayer as well. And so going back to that section that I was talking about in Luke chapter 11, after Jesus was found praying, or after Jesus prayed, the disciples asked Him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so what we find there is, there's a section, it's not as robust as what we find. So it's found in that gospel as well, in Luke 11. But we're going to spend more time in Matthew 6, because that is actually where Jesus spends more time talking about prayer. And so if you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start reading verse 5 through 13. It says, And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. When you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to the Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so again, that's the blueprint that Jesus is giving us in terms of how we're supposed to pray. Now, I think it's interesting that Jesus starts this by saying, when you pray, don't babble. Don't look like you're getting your praise. Don't just pray out loud because you think you're going to get some kind of special reward. And so, in fact, he's saying that that type of prayer is hypocritical, and that those folks have already received the reward. But it says do it in a quiet place, right? You spend quiet time with God. And when you pray, pray in this manner. Now, it's important that we talk about what it means to pray. And what I mean by that is that the Lord's Prayer is a blueprint for prayer. It's not meant to be repeated over and over again. Now, there is power in saying that when you actually pray with intention and with heart. What I mean by that is that it allows us then to have a blueprint and a model of how we're going to be praying. So I grew up, like I said earlier, in a Catholic home. And what that means is that I grew up, and if somebody had passed away, we would pray the rosary. My family would gather and pray the rosary. And my aunts pray, my family still predominantly speaks Spanish. And my aunts gather, and when they pray the rosary, they pray the two different prayers. And I'm very clear. I'm not here to talk down or to put one church down. That's not my intention. I'm just purely sharing my experience. And so when we gather and pray, there'd be one person that would be the leader. She would say the Our Father, and they would pray the Hail Mary. And so, prayers, and they repeat the Lord's Prayer, and they repeat those, kind of alternate those two. Here's what I'm saying, that the Lord's Prayer itself, as an example, can be just, can become a religious activity. So my aunts, when they pray, and it almost sounds like you're at an auction house, because they pray so fast. That's like, Our Father who art in heaven, how to be thy name, that the kingdom comes, I will do, blah, 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 blah. And it almost sounds like somebody should be bidding, like you shouldn't be $5, $10, yep. It sounds like you're at an auction house, almost how fast they pray in Spanish. And the other thing is, it's just very monotone. There's almost no sincerity behind it. And I'm not, again, knocking them. But I just know in my own experience, man, this just seems like a religious act. We're repeating the words, and we feel that we're talking to the Father in that way. And certainly, I think that's maybe the side of it we're looking for. It's more of an act of works than it is actually just spending time and what it means to talk to God. Going back to today's message, the first thing that we see is that God is asking us to communicate with Him, to have that relationship with Him. And the first fill in the blanks is number one, when you pray, focus on being with the Father. Number one, when you pray, focus on being with the Father. Because ultimately, what we're talking about is if you go through the first parts of the Lord's Prayer, when you look at the first part of the Lord's Prayer, the first part is focusing on who the Father is. Jesus Himself says, Our Father in heaven. Hallowed is your name. Your name is beautiful. Your name is sacred. Your name is to be magnified, the name above all names. And so for ourselves as believers, we have to follow the same blueprint. That even, you know, if we go back and look at the scriptures, the name of the Father, the main name that you see attributed to him was Yahweh. And the name was so holy to the people. I always say, when you read the Bible, you have to talk about what it meant then and what it means to us now. What it meant then was that even if you said his name, it was so holy that oftentimes people wouldn't want to say it because it had such reverence for God. Even the scribes themselves wouldn't like to write the name out because his name was so holy. And so as Jesus is praying, Heavenly Father, who is magnificent and holy, and then he uses the word, our Father. At that time, that was revolutionary. It was, and for the religious leaders, was even blasphemous. Because now he's talking about a father relationship, father and son. And so if you go on and you read again the Gospels, shortly after when there's the reasons why they ultimately decide to put our Lord and Savior on the cross is because they said that he was claiming to be God. That it says the Father and I are one. And even the fact that he was referring to Yahweh as his Father was blasphemous to them. But what Jesus was trying to paint and tell us in that in the opening of that Lord's Prayer is that we can have that kind of intimacy and relationship, our Heavenly Father, and just like a father and a son or a father and a daughter. Now, whenever we read this scripture and we read this passage, we also proceed and we also want to explain it because we give a little bit of word of caution. And the reason why I say that is that we know that having a Heavenly Father who's awesome, who's good, who loves us, that's amazing. And that can be, if we have a good earthly Father, it's easy to draw the parallel. It's easy to make the connection that if I have a good earthly Father, I understand how I could have a perfect, good Heavenly Father, an eternal Father. But if I have an earthly Father who has not been the best Father, if I have an earthly father who has not been there or who has inflict emotional damage or physical abuse upon us or that person, then it's going to be different on that individual. If we have an earthly father who has hurt us or abandoned us or who has been absent or who has inflicted, again, emotional damage or maybe has inflicted physical harm to the individual, then it'll be much more difficult to draw the parallel on the line to say, our Heavenly Father, who's good, who loves me, that I can be a child of God because our earthly father didn't give us the right example or we have that relationship. Now, here's the thing that we need to hear. Maybe we didn't have the best earthly father, but that is, in that case, a reason why we need to turn to our Heavenly Father, why our relationship with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit as well, and our relationship with the Father, right, is so important. Because then that, in contrast to the experience to the Heavenly Father, will be so much different. Because our Heavenly Father and your Heavenly Father loves you. He wants to see us restored to Him. He wants to hear from us. In him we find peace and joy and hope and love and all the fruits of the Spirit. And so we want to be very clear that even if we haven't had the best experience with our earthly father, or maybe there's no relationship at all, we can establish the type of relationship that we all desire. We all desire as human beings to be accepted and to be loved and to be affirmed by our Father. And if our earthly father didn't provide us that, then know, and the Bible is full of promises, that your Heavenly Father will provide those things and meet you at your need. We were all made in his image and his likeness, and I believe that we are all made with a place in our heart that is seeking God to worship him, to belong, to be called a child of God, to be a part of the family. And so again, it's possible that we, again, didn't have the best earthly father experience. But here's why our Heavenly Father meets us where we are. He feels that. And then if we seek Him out and we build on that relationship, our Heavenly Father then gives us the ability then to oftentimes, sometimes, if we want to, if we're in the place to be able to restore, to forgive, and to be full. So Jesus Christ, when He talked about last week, and we've covered this, when He came to restore us, when He's a good shepherd, when He gives His life, and He talks about us giving us the ability, number one, to have eternal life with Him, that He provides for us, the way and the doorway to peace and joy and forgiveness. And He gives us, again, the ability, Philippians 4:13, that we can do all things through Jesus Christ, including restoring some of those damaged relationships, including forgiveness to people who have let us down or hurt us, inflicted hurt and pain in our lives. And He came to give restoration and peace. And so that relationship through the Heavenly Father allows us then to restore some of our earthly relationships that without Him would be impossible to do. So when Jesus is giving us the blueprint again, He's saying, focus on the Father, right? Focus on who He is. He wants us to pray to Him and to seek Him out. The first portions again, and I'm going to go through this quickly because we have some more scriptures to cover. But when we pray, it's our Heavenly Father. Hallowed is Your name. The second part of this is that we pray for the kingdom come, His kingdom to become, and His will to be done in our life, on earth as it is in heaven. And so, again, going back to the example that I gave you earlier, when I would pray to our Father, number one, I would not focus on Him. I would not focus on who He is first. You know, and let me give you guys another example. The person who we're talking to at the same time, we have to make sure that we are prepared, that we come with Him with reverence. There's people in your life right now that you give respect and reverence to, even though you may not like them too much. If the President of the United States came into the building right now, walked into this room, whether you like him or not, whether you vote for the elephant or the donkey party, you would still have some type of reverence because he has a position. Again, you may not be, I'm not sure, I'm not trying to talk politics here, but we would have a certain sense of respect when we speak to the president if we were given the opportunity. As believers, when we want to come before our Heavenly Father, God, who created all things, it's also important that we have this right mindset, that God is holy, that there's even angels in heaven, all their full-time job is to say how holy He is. And we know that when He speaks, the universe comes into existence, planets are formed, galaxies are formed. And so if we have reverence for a human being, that maybe, again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have reverence and respect. We should, for people that are in authority in our lives. If we're in school, it's our teachers, principals, learning directors. At work, it should be our supervisor, directors, our bosses. And those are, and again, we need to have that structure and we need to have that respect. Kids, it's your parents, it's your grandparents, your aunts and uncles. You need to speak with reverence and respect. But again, when we're praying to our Heavenly Father, we have to have even, I would say, if you showed respect in those situations and circumstances, you should have the utmost and the highest respect for who you're talking to. Which is why, again, that first point is that when we pray, we focus on being with the Father and focus on the Father. And then Jesus goes on to tell us that we focus on His will, not what we want. Again, the example that I was sharing with you earlier was when I would pray, I prayed for my own will, my own desire. I was like, the bad guy in Aladdin. I just wanted my own things. I wanted my own blessing. I wasn't seeking God out. I was seeking the blessing that He could provide me, which is backwards. You know, how many of you here, if you have a child or you know somebody in your life that it doesn't matter, every time they speak to you and you come around, they always want something. They don't come to you to say, mom, dad, or hey, friend, how are you doing? Or hey, brother and sister, or, how are you? How are things? I want to spend time. Let's go have some coffee. No, when they come around, it's when there's a problem or there's an issue and they need something. Hey, I haven't heard you. Can you let me borrow some? Hey, I'm really in a bind. Can you do, you know, even before we catch up, it's like already with the agenda of what they want or what they need. And so in the same way, you know, when we're talking to our Heavenly Father, we don't want to be that person that we just described. That just comes with a hidden agenda that comes just to say, I want, I need, I want, I need, I want, I need. That's not what we should be doing. Certainly not in life, but also not to our Heavenly Father. So what Jesus is teaching us in this passage is that we should be seeking His will. He is God. He is good. He is sovereign. And He wants us to be focused on doing what the Father's will is for our life. He's a Heavenly Father. He's omniscient. He knows what's good for us. So for us as believers, we should be seeking what He wants for our life. Before I start to focus on the things that I want, we need to seek, what does He want? What is His will for our life? And so that's different, again, from the type of prayers that sometimes we pray ourselves, or we prayed maybe in our youth, like I said. Here's why we have to seek God's will first. Because oftentimes we come before the Father and we have a plan. We think that we know, and we really don't. And if we're honest, many of us in here have also prayed a prayer that we could thank God for after the fact that He didn't answer, because God has a better way. We thought that this is what we wanted. We thought that this was going to be the thing that brought us joy and peace and maybe even a little bit of happiness. But at the end, because God is a good Father, He does what's best for us. Sometimes He says the answer to that prayer is no. Again, so, and that's a harder, you know, sometimes when you got to wrap your brain around that. But when you have a Heavenly Father, you need discipline. And sometimes the answer that you need to hear is no, because our, in our immaturity, the thing we're asking for is the thing that causes more harm and inflict more pain upon us further down the line. Again, God is omniscient, so we trust Him. We trust His holy will for our life. And we have to seek Him out. That's what Jesus is teaching us there in that passage. And then He goes on at that point, after we've talked about how the reverence that we have for God, right? And there's several different acronyms that people can use. I mean, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, that's ACTS. That's a real common one. And that's a blueprint too that follows the Lord's Prayer as well. But after we introduce number one, glorifying who God is, focusing on His name, we talk about seeking His will for His life in heaven as it is on earth. Then we go on to ask God for His provision in our life. And that's when we talk about let God provide for us His daily bread, our essentials, our things that we need, right? And then we go on to talk about asking for forgiveness of our sin. That's huge. That's huge. We all need to have forgiveness for us. And forgiveness is a free gift that God gives us, right? And we find that when we confess and repent and turn away from our sin and we seek God out and His mercies are renewed for us daily. Because we're not perfect. Even after we come to Christ, we're going to fail. And I say we don't sin freely. We know that it comes at a cost. But we need forgiveness of our sins. And then by the same token, if we really want to find the peace of joy and the peace of God, we have to forgive others, right? And so that's the second, that's the fourth item that we see in the Lord's Prayer, is that we have to forgive our debtors. And the forgiveness, the opportunity to forgive, is such a blessing itself, because it allows us to live in freedom and joy and not to live bitter or anger or upset about a situation and circumstance. It is truly, truly, truly one of the greatest gifts that we receive from God. Yes, the forgiveness of our sins, opportunity to have a relationship through Jesus Christ to our Heavenly Father, but then also the ability to then the strength to learn how to forgive. And that is truly one of the, I would say, the greatest gifts that can fill our lives with peace, and not the anger, and not to be filled with resentment, and not to be filled with hurt, but to truly learn how to forgive. And God's grace is sufficient. That is a supernatural thing, that God comes in and gives us the ability then to forgive those who have sinned against us, those who have hurt us. Jesus moves on in verse 13. He says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil." At the end of the day, we know we have an enemy, and we learned last week that he came to steal, kill, and destroy. He would want nothing better than to steal our joy, steal our relationship with the Heavenly Father, to steal our relationship with our family members, to create chaos and confusion. And so, yes, the fifth thing that we see there is to take us away from temptation, but also deliver us from the evil one. And we know that we have victory in Jesus' name already. So we keep, you know, there's power in his name. We speak his name. You know, we sang that worship song, "I speak the name of Jesus," right? Over addiction, over depression, I speak the name of Jesus. And in every situation and circumstance for my family. And so that was an awesome song. But again, we ask for prayer finally for freedom from temptation and freedom from the enemy. And from the sin that entangles us, right? And I said, "God, you know our proclivities. So help us to say no to those things and to deepen our relationship with you, fill with the Holy Spirit." If you continue and you can read verse 14, you know, Jesus gives a very clear command that you have to forgive people who have hurt you. And if you don't forgive, then your Heavenly Father won't forgive you, right? So those two things, it's just part of the scripture. You know, I didn't write it. But we have to make sure that we're right, because we're not God. We're asking our Heavenly Father to forgive us, but yet we're not going to forgive other people. And so those things, like I said, are very intertwined. When we're walking in the fullness of how God wants us to live, we have to make sure that we're practicing every part of the scripture. And in this particular passage, the verse that follows it, that which is, again, I preached this on the previous message, that our Heavenly Father, if we want to be forgiven, that we also need to forgive. You know, he will hear our prayers, but we have to make sure that we have already reconciled and had peace with our brothers and sisters. Moving on to the next point, when you talk to God, number two, be yourself. The fill in the blank is be yourself. When you talk to God, be yourself. In our life and the culture that we live in, people like to front a lot. People like to, you know, they have this fake Instagram, they have this Facebook account that shows all the awesome things that you do in life. When you're on vacation, you're taking pictures, you're posting that. When you're having an awesome dinner and a lunch, you're like, take a picture of that. Posting all the good things in your life. And that's not really the true version of ourselves, right? That's not the entirety of our life. Like, we had a camera on us at all times. Sometimes we'd be like, "Oh my gosh, they caught that. I don't want anybody to see that." But listen, we might be able to put on a certain face or an image or a front on our social media platforms, but you can't do that to God, right? God knows all things. He sees all things. And so we got to be ourselves. And oftentimes, and I've heard this, you've heard people say this a lot, you know, "Oh, well, I can't go to God because I have to get right." You know, you're not going to get right. Not without him. You need to seek him out to get right. But we got to be ourselves, right? The true version of ourselves. In Romans 5:8, it says, "God proved his love for you in this, that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you." Let me read that again. "God proved his love for you in this, that while you are still a sinner, Christ died for you." That means that, number one, God already loves you. You don't need to impress him. In fact, that passage of scripture tells us that while we are his enemy, before we had even professed faith in Christ, before we were followers, he loved us enough to send his son to die for us on the cross. That means I don't have to impress him. His love for me is not contingent on my acts or my works or me getting right. He loves me, he loves you, and we just have to then turn to him in faith of Jesus Christ, right? And so I don't have to put on a front or fake it or look a certain way. Because he's saying, while we were his enemies, while we were still steep in our sin, he loved us and he sent his son to die on the cross for us. So we don't have to put on a front, like I said. God's love is not contingent on our performance. He already proved his love for us by sending his one and only son to die on the cross, to make a way back to him. That's amazing. The second passage there is for this point is 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7. And that says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time, and cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time, and cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you." It's talking about our need to prayer, our need to humble ourselves, not to be full of ourselves, but to come before him, number one, like we said, reverence his name, establish that connection, focus on being with him. Then we have to come to him and we're ourselves because we know he already loves us, even when we are sinners. And the second thing is that we just have to come with humility, right? Not puffed up, not demanding, not like full of yourself. And we cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. You know, the society that we live in is full of depression and anxiety. Depression because we're recounting, reliving things that have happened to us in the past, hurts and harms from the past. You know, it's a real deal. You know, whenever I talk about mental health, I'm not trying to diminish those things. Those are real issues that as human beings we go through. You know, I work in healthcare, so clinically, and I know what the statistics show. The National Institute of Health says that one in ten persons is going to go through about a clinical depression each year. It happens. It's okay. And I'm not saying that storms are going to come in our life, and that there's resources and therapy and mental health counselors. We don't discount those things. We certainly turn to our healer, our creator, our heavenly father, our brothers and sisters, prayer, meditation, scripture, right? That helps us then overcome and have victory over those bouts in our life. But there's times where we need support. And so we got to seek those things out. You know, God provides resources too. And those resources are meant to help us through the storms in our life. We're not meant to carry the burden on our own. That's why Jesus says, and the scriptures say, to cast our burdens and to cast all of our anxiety on him because he cares for us. See, we you know, there's a little image that I've used in the past in other messages, and it was in India, actually. And they had a donkey that had a cart. And on it, it was full of boxes and bags and corn and rice and sacks of beans and a bunch of stuff. And it was so heavy that it actually the cart tipped over and the donkey was flying in the air, like his feet were wiggling. And sometimes it was a good picture or analogy to say we live our life that way. We have too much burden on our back, and the reason why we're not walking anywhere is because like the donkey, his feet were dangling in the air. That's our life. We can't move forward. We can't move forward because we're carrying all this burden, carrying all this dead weight on us. In this particular passage, Peter is saying, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So when we talk to God, we can be very honest with him. We can be ourselves. God is not surprised. And we don't have to impress him. There's even going to be parts of your life that are going to be challenging. How many of you guys in here remember a movie that came out back in 1994? It was a movie called Forrest Gump. You guys probably all remember it. And there's a character. His name is Lieutenant Dan. You guys remember? Forrest was shipped off. He went out to Vietnam. And then in a battle, they're ambushed. And Lieutenant Dan gets shot in the legs. And if you guys remember, Forrest goes back and forth. He picks him up. Lieutenant Dan says, "No, I'm going to die here. Leave me." And Forrest picks him up anyway, takes him to safety. Well, when they get back, and if you guys remember in the medical tent, they've amputated both of his legs. And Lieutenant Dan was upset. He was mad. He said, "I should have died here." Well, long story short, Forrest Gump meets with him again in New York. And Lieutenant Dan asks him a very interesting question. He says, "Forrest, have you found God yet? Or have you found Jesus?" Forrest Gump's answer was, "I didn't know that he was lost. Or I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him." And they go on in that scene. And they fast forward to another scene where finally Forrest invites him he's going to buy a shrimp boat as a promise that he made to his friend. And he invites him to come along. And so later on, the movie cuts to a different scene. Forrest is at the coast now. He has the boat, and Lieutenant Dan shows up. But when they start fishing, they're not catching anything. But if you remember, there's a hurricane that comes through there, and they're actually out to sea, and they're not docked like every other shrimp boat that is in that area. And in that scene, there's a very interesting scene where Lieutenant Dan is in the middle of a hurricane and a storm, and he's standing high, he's high up on the very, like the eagle's perch on the boat, and he's yelling, and he's having a confrontation, a one-on-one with God, and he is upset. He's yelling, he's saying, "Is that the best you can do? Is that all you've got? You're never going to sink this boat." And that to me is a really good analogy of how our life can be sometimes. That our life, we might be in the middle of a storm. That it feels like we're being battered back and forth by life, by issues, by conflict, by hurt, by people, whatever's going on, health issues. And your life is like that. You're in the boat in the storm. And you can be just like the same way that Lieutenant Dan, when he came and he was having his one-on-one with God, he was angry. He was hurt. He was dealing with all this depression about how his life had been, all the things that have happened to him in his life. He was now an amputee. And so he's yelling at God. And here's what I'm saying. Yes, yes, God is sovereign. He is good. But he also understands our emotion, is what I'm trying to say. He understands our hurt. He understands we might be angry at a situation. Our raw emotion, right, of disappointment, of hurt, of anger. God is God. We can cast his anxieties and our fears upon him. We just covered that in 1 Peter. And so in this point, when we say, be yourself, listen, there's going to be times where you can have a real heart-to-heart. Share your heart with God about how you might be hurt. Or you might, this situation, I don't understand this, God. Why is this happening? I thought that all these things, and you changed my plan. You're redirecting my plan. God is not going to be surprised. He's for us. He's not against us. And so we can talk to him. We can be ourselves. And so going back to that scene in that movie, Lieutenant Dan is talking to God, and he's mad, and he's upset. And then finally, as you remember, they cut to the next scene, and there's... the storm has passed. The ocean is now calm. There's nothing like but peace. And that's a metaphor and a picture for our life, that when we have that, we are going to have the storms. We can turn to God. And that the storm is going to pass. The storms are not there to stay forever. But we can endure them. We can turn to God. Now, if you guys remember, Lieutenant Dan jumps off of the boat. And he starts to do a backstroke, and he's swimming on his back. Forrest Gump is narrating that scene, and he says, what happened that night? He says, I think that Lieutenant Dan made peace with God. And that's what we're seeking at the end of the day, through the storm, through our lives, that we will be able to find that peace, that fullness, and we have to get through that. God gives us the strength, the ability, and even the way to get us and restore us back to that peace, just in the same way in that movie. That we see Lieutenant Dan making peace with God in his life. And he goes on in the movie to get remarried. And he gives thanks to Forrest for saving his life. He gives thanks for giving the opportunity to be on that shrimp boat. To be the shrimp boat captain with him. And so we can take that from the movie and really bring it back to the context of what we're seeking here today. Is that we can be ourselves. And that God meets us at our need. The last thing that we are going to cover in the third point. Is that we invite God into every area of our life. Listen, God is sovereign. He's not surprised. He wants to hear from us. He wants to be part of our lives. Just by the same way, you know, we're not called to be micromanagers into our kids' life, but we want to know. We want to be invited. We want to see, you know, we would like to see. We have a lot of valuable wisdom to cast down. How much wisdom does our Heavenly Father have to give us wisdom and to give us into every part of our life? Not just on Sunday, not just in the morning with our microwave prayer. Not just before lunch or dinner, but every part of our life. God, in my work, in my home, in my health, in my finance, every part of my life, let me surrender to your will. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18, we read Paul telling us, rejoice always and pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Again, I'll read it. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Again, Paul is telling us that regardless of the situation, circumstances, we can still rejoice. That might be hard, but pray without ceasing. Keep talking to God. Nonstop, pray, you know, have that conversation, that one-on-one that our Heavenly Father wants to hear from us. To give thanks to Him in all the circumstances. And again, this is His will. This is why Christ came. Jesus Christ came to make a way for sinners like us to have a relationship with God the Father. Jesus Christ came, and then He says, and when I leave, I'm also going to give you the Helper. I'm going to give you the Counselor. I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. So that is truly amazing when you think about what God's will is, right? It says this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we can invite Him into all the areas of our life. The second scripture, and we're going to close with this scripture, is Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. And it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we present our requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Again, we talked about that earlier. In this life, we're going to have, we have a lot of anxiety. We have a lot of worry. We have a lot of fear. And this is, passage of scripture reminds us again that in every situation, we can come to Him with prayer and ask with thanksgiving and make our requests known to God. God is not surprised. He already knows what we need. And so when we surrender truly our situation, our circumstance, the issue that we might be facing to God, this scripture is a promise to say that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And really, what we're all seeking for, honestly, is a life of peace with God and with each other. Because in this life, we're going to have struggles. There's conflict. There's relationship issues. There's health issues. There's financial issues. But we're all seeking for peace. And God provides a way, number one, by sending His Son to die on the cross, by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, by filling us with the Holy Spirit, and by giving us a way through the Word, all of His reminders, all of His commands to us, the blueprint for how we find peace, right, is number one, through faith. We talked about knowing God. We talked about listening to God. And now we're talking to Him. We're casting our burdens on Him. We're receiving from Him. We're receiving encouragement. We're receiving from Him. We gather with the church body, with our brothers and sisters in prayer and fellowship. We share our highs and we share our lows together. And so that's how God comes to meet us at every one of our needs. He's an awesome God. And so again, to close out this message, praying and talking with God is an essential and a vital part of our walk with Him. He's our Heavenly Father. He's a good Father, and He wants to hear from us. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank You that You are a good God, that You are for us, Lord God, that You are not against us. Thank You, Lord God, for the ability to gather, to worship, to be encouraged by Your Word. I pray for every family that is here and for the families that couldn't make it today, Lord God, that You would continue to guide them, be with them, protect them. But Lord, right now, we just know Your name, Lord God. Your name is hallowed. You're precious, Lord. You're the name above all names, Lord. We love You. We magnify You, Lord God, because You are such an awesome God. Thank You again for the ability, Lord, to make a way that You love us enough, Lord God. Number one, to send Your Son to die on the cross. Even when we are still sinners, Lord, You showed Your love for us in this way. Lord, thank You again for who You are. We just profess, Lord, that You are such a good and awesome God, Lord. Thank You again, Lord Jesus. Thank You, God. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for all that You do in our lives, Lord God, for who You are. Lord, we pray that Your will would be done in our lives, Lord God. That what You're commanding in our walk in Your will to know us, to walk with us as we're learning these principles in the sermon, that we would apply them. What Your will is for our life, Lord, is written in Your scripture. What Your will is for our life and how You're speaking to us, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, Lord. And Lord, thank You again. We seek Your will out, Lord, in all things, Lord. That we know that You want us to be set apart. We know that You made us for You, for worship, Lord God. So help us to walk in that. But Lord, we also have some things here in our life, Lord, that we want your will to be done in our life, Lord, not our own. So guide our decision, guide our path in our relationship, in our home, in our work, in the thousands of decisions that we make every day. Help us to always have them be aligned to you, to seek your will out in all things, Lord God. Forgive us, Lord God, for our sins, Lord. Forgive us when we fail, Lord God. We are human beings and we have this battle back and forth with the flesh. Forgive us, Lord God, for these things. We don't sin freely, Lord God. We know that sin creates separation from us and you, Heavenly Father. That sin creates separation from us and our brothers and sisters and our kids and our spouses and our family. So forgive us, Lord God, for our sins, Lord. And then at the same time, help us to forgive people who have hurt us, Lord. I mean, help us, Lord God. Yes, it is hard to navigate some of the pains that we've gone and endured. But Lord, we can do all things through you. So Lord, help us, Lord God, to forgive and extend that peace and forgiveness, Lord, that you give to us freely. Help us not to be vengeful. Help us not to be angry or bitter by the hurt that we've gone through and experienced. Help us be filled with peace, a supernatural peace, Lord, that can only come from you, to extend that forgiveness to brothers and sisters or people who have harmed us or hurt us. Lord God, thank you again, Lord, and we pray that you provide for us, Lord, at our needs. That some of us here, we have a need, Lord God, for we might be going through a struggle. We have a need, and we need a touch from you in our lives, in our health, Lord. We need a touch from you and some guidance and our need for some decisions about changes that are going to be coming in our life. Could be a change like a new job or a new opportunity. Could be a change in something that we need, Lord God. So just provide that for us, Lord God. Provide us the wisdom that we need. Lord, thank you again for who you are, Lord God. And Lord, just we thank you that you are a good God, that you love us, that you forsake us, but you give us victory also over our enemy, Lord. And Lord, protect us from our temptation, protect us from the sin that entangles us. Help us to put up guardrails and walls, Lord, not to be fools, to walk alongside the line of temptations to see if we can get close to the edge to fall over, Lord. No, help us to walk with you, protected under your protection, under your provision, Lord. And help us to be smart about these things as well, Lord God. Help us not to be fools and be foolish and to teeter along the edge of sin and temptation, Lord God. But help us to be full and set apart for you the way that you want. Lord God, protect our families and our home. Watch over us, Lord. Continue to keep us safe, Lord. And thank you again for your goodness, Lord God. Thank you for who you are in our lives. I thank you again for what you're doing in the life of this church, Lord God. I pray that your blessing extends to every family that is here or those that couldn't be here today. That you continue to watch over us and guide us, Lord God. Help us to seek your will out and how you want us to reach people in the community and reach the lost, Lord. And ultimately, just live a life after you. But more than anything, just achieve the vision that you've given us for this church, which is to know Jesus and to worship the Father and to be connected and filled with the Holy Spirit and to make you known. That's it. Thank you again for your goodness, Lord God, and just thank you that you are for us and not against us, that you love us, that you fill us with peace, Lord God, and help us to be effective for you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.